Okay, this is July 18th, and the topic tonight is ask.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all at once is an opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I. It is the purpose of this teaching to make us aware of this essential truth of our being. So I hope that that stuff is sinking in to your mind, to your subconscious, so that it's always there. You don't have to look for it. It pops itself up. That's what you want, to be able to think the thought that you want to think all the time, and it pops up and suddenly rooting for it or looking for it, something. You should have all that inside of you so that you can rely on it. Now, before we start tonight, I'd like to tell two little things. One, for prosperity and abundance, you know that the queen is 90, you know that. They just gave her a raise. Isn't that wonderful? At 90 years old, you get a raise. Metaphysical. She deserves it, then she's getting a raise. I think it's $3 or $4 million. The raise.
She really needs it.
She does. And she makes, I think, like $65 million a year.
Oh, is that all?
But that goes, she owns 4 homes, I believe.
Right.
And she has to
4
keep
castles.
Yeah, she has to keep all that stuff up.
Yeah.
So she needs
that. And she employs a lot of people.
And she employed. Do you know how many servants she has at Buckingham Palace?
How many? 250, 300, 500, more? 800.
Exactly.
800.
She has 800 servants at Buckingham only. Wow. And then she has all the other, she has Windsor Castle. Pardon?
I said, I wonder what they get paid.
Oh, I have no idea what they get paid. And she has a castle in Scotland that she only goes to 1 week a year. Mm-hmm. So she's got it made. But she works a lot, and I admire her greatly. But I think it's wonderful that you can, when people, I'm too old, I can't. She's 90 and getting a raise. So think of that. We can always make money at whatever age we are.
Do you know why she only goes to Scotland 1 week a year?
Do I know why?
Yeah, because she doesn't go during the rainy season.
Oh, is that it? He's a mess. He's a total mess.
She can't bring her parties.
All right. So, with that said, the next thing we talked about last week was the idea that we have never been thrown out of the Garden of Eden. And you must get that through. We've been taught since that we were thrown out of the garden. Mm-hmm. And we have never been thrown out of the garden. And if you can make yourself start to come to the realization that you were never kicked out of the garden, you get rid of the blame and the shame and the guilt and all. We are gilded as soon as we're born. Because what's baptism all about? To save, get rid of your sins. Now, how could a little baby that's just been born be sinful in any way, shape, or form? But that's what we do baptism for. It doesn't make sense when you think about it, does it?
Mm-hmm.
Not any sense.
My church, we don't have baptisms. We have namings.
Yes, well, that's a good idea. Because baptism means that your sins are being removed, or whatever, however they do that. And I think it's such a travesty that we still do that kind of stuff. But I told you that when I was in Israel, the people were lined up at the River Jordan, to be baptized. And it looked like Disneyland to me. And they would rent you or sell you a white robe for $2 or something. And then you stood in this immense line and somebody dipped you down into the water. It just reminded me of Disneyland or some ride or something. Are you baptized or are you not baptized? Now, the other thing I'll tell you about baptism was, you know, I often told you that I grew up a Lutheran. Well, the minister at that time, my grandfather had died, and he, in my own home, said to me, well, Dallas, you know your grandfather's not going to go to heaven. He was never baptized. And I thought, why don't you keep your mouth shut? You know what I said to him? Keep that to yourself. Don't you tell my mother. Because she'd have been furious to think that her father wasn't going to be in heaven. Now, where grandfather is, I have no idea. But I'm sure in a much, much better place, you see. So we have to remember those things, and that stuff still goes on. You know, you're not going to get into heaven because you weren't baptized. Now, who made that rule up? So stupid, isn't it, when you think about it? But that's all church doctrine, and that's all they want to teach, is the doctrine of the church, instead of opening yourself up to anything. Now, I'll tell you a cute story about my sister-in-law, who lives in the land of Nod, remember? So I called, or she called, I don't know what day, a week or so ago. And she was going on, she said, oh, I'm so upset about what happened in Orlando, the shooting in the gay bar. And she said, you know, Dallas, my daughter and her husband know a lot of gay people. I said, wasn't that nice? And she said, you know, they're very nice. They're very nice. I said, well, that's nice, Dad. Then she finally said, at the end of the conversation was this. Now, this is a woman that's been in church since day one. She's 73 years old. Idiot. She said to me, Dallas, do you think God made those gay people? I didn't say a word to her. I felt like saying, is there some other way? Is there some other creator going on that I don't know about that only makes gay people, you know? But that, you know, and I don't argue with her, I don't say anything. But you have to start to think. In the land of Nod, she can't be the only one thinking that. She can't be the only one thinking that. And she's been in church, and I mean regularly. She never misses church.
Well, did church it? Preaches.
But she didn't learn a damn thing, did she? It didn't serve her to say such craziness.
But they say in the Bible that God damns homosexuality.
I don't believe so.
Oh, I don't either, but that's what they... That's
yeah, but they use that, but I don't... The only thing in the Bible that there is this. Man must not lay with man. Mm-hmm. Why was that? Because a whole civilization was dying out. Mm-hmm. And they didn't want, you know, men, because they couldn't produce
needed
anything.
People.
They needed people.
Yeah.
So they had to build up the population. But that's the only thing. And then, I don't know if you people know this or not, you know, Jesus never said one word about sex or anything pertaining to sex. Nothing. There's nothing in the 23 days we know of Jesus. Did you know that? We only know 23 days of his life.
Why is that?
No one ever wrote the rest of it down. And then the story of Jesus himself, they wrote down 500 years after it happened. Now, don't you think a few things could have gotten mixed up after 500 years? You know. Now, none of that bothers me or should bother anybody, but you have to look at it and say, well...
Question it.
Yeah, at least question it. At least question it, you know. Otherwise, you're just accepting things blindly, and that's not the way to do. So think of those things. But back to the Garden of Eden, please, people. Realize that you have never, never been kicked out of the Garden of Eden. You are still there. So, and in this Garden of Eden, if you look around, it's absolutely magnificent. Isn't it beautiful? This whole world we live in is absolutely, totally beautiful. I watch all the travel shows. I love to see all the beauty in the world. So that's the garden that we're in. But we dwell on what? All the ugliness of the world. But there's more goodness and more beauty out there than there is ugliness. They say the news that we hear, although it's very traumatic, the news nowadays with all the killings and stuff going on, but it still remains only 5% of what's going on. Regardless of all the news in the world and all the bad stuff that's going on, it's only 5%. But we dwell on it, and the radio dwells on it, the television, till we think, oh my God, it must be all, it must, you know, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. And it's not. This is a beautiful world. And make it beautiful. So, now, how about asking? Has anyone asked for something this week? The whole thing is to be able to ask. And it says in the Bible, ask believing, and ye shall receive. Believing what? What do you think you have to believe when you ask for something from the universe?
That it's going to manifest.
That it's going to, absolutely. And that it's listening to and it's going to do that. But we have to clear our minds so that we can figure that out. So we have to know that we're worthy and deserving, totally lovable, and that we matter. And if we don't believe those four things, you're not going to get what you want when you ask. It just doesn't work that way. You have to totally accept it and totally believe it. Know that you are being completely taken care of and that all your desires and all your wants are there, and all you have to do is ask. All you have to do is ask. There's nothing complicated about this teaching. There's nothing complicated about God or the universe or whatever you want to call it. There's nothing complicated. We make it complicated. And we come up with all kinds of rituals and so forth. But I don't think you need a ritual. You don't need to light the candle. If it helps you, then light the candle. But because you light the candle does not mean God's going, ooh, goody, goody, another candle. You know, no, God does not need your worship. God does not need your worship. You do that for yourself. That's why we go to church and all. It's for us, not for God. So, ask. Learn to ask. As I said last week, that's the hardest thing for people to do. I could never ask for anything. And was it because I probably thought it wasn't? I didn't matter. You know, why should I get anything? I don't matter. Mm-hmm. You see, you have to know that you matter if you want to get something. So keep that running through your, I matter. I really, truly matter. And you will see a difference in your spiritual life. Or when you're asking for something, you say, you don't have to pray for it for 3 years to get what you want. You know, I don't know why people think that. It's instant, you know. Everything in the universe is instant. Everything about God is instant. God doesn't say, well, yes, you may have that, but not till next week. Or not till payday. Do you remember when you were a kid? Well, payday, we'll see if we have what we can do it at payday. Payday should be every day of the week. Every day of the week. I had some things that I needed done this week, financial things. And I said, ask. I said, God, you have to help me here. I don't know how this is going to come about, what's going to happen or anything. And by evening, three different people and things happened to make up that for me. Did you? You know, but you have to ask and you have to believe. And then you're going to get what you want. You're going to get it. So by nightfall, I had it. And I thought, well, thank you very much. You see, and that's how you have to do it. You have to know. And you have to believe. And you have to ask. Most people don't ask. They don't ask for what they want because they don't think they're worthy to get it. And when we were children, we had to wait for all this different thing. You know? You waited and you waited. You know? And most of the time, what did I wait for? If I wanted something really big, I always had to wait till Christmas to get it. You know? That's a Christmas gift. You can't get that now. See? So we're mentally conditioned to all this stuff. And that's why now at our ages it becomes difficult because we have been so conditioned by our society, by our culture telling us all this stuff that is wrong. And we start to believe all that stuff. And it's not true. And none of it's true. I think you have to get a whole new concept of what this thing called heaven is all about. People have these weird things about heaven. Remember my friend Doug the Baptist? He's sure he's going to have a higher position in heaven because he's suffering now. I said, you're stupid. You're not going to have any higher possession or position in heaven. We in this teaching believe that heaven is a state of mind and that you could be in heaven all the time by keeping your mind working correctly. And I think that that's probably what it is. I don't think I'm going to make my transition and land at the pearly gates. Well, St. Paul writes all the stuff down in the book as you go through. I said, and who makes this crap up? It's horrible. And we believe that. And that's where we get the idea that this thing called God is watching over us. Well, yes, God is watching over us. But not to punish us, not to make us suffer in any way. God is watching over us because this thing loves us. See, it loves us so much, it watches over us. And it does give you what you want. That I can assure you. But the rest of it, I have no idea. I don't think there's a heaven anywhere. I really don't. I think we go someplace. I think we continue to go through the universe and go through a consciousness and go through all that stuff. Perhaps without this body or perhaps with a different type of body. I could look like a lizard. I don't care. But my consciousness is going to continue. There's no such thing as death, you know. People always think it's life and death. Life has no opposite. Life is always life. We're the ones who think it's life and death. But life has no opposite whatsoever. No opposite. So you're going to be alive. And the Bible talks about that, and many religions talk about that, which that's what we call eternal life. It continues, and it will continue. That's why we don't get so upset and so forth when people make their transition. I just had a high school friend of mine die. Am I upset about it? Absolutely not. She's in a much better place. That part I always believe, that you're in a much better place. And she's completely occupied in a whole new and different life. And probably has no idea that she's made her transition. You know, dead people don't know they're dead. We're the only ones who know they're dead. No, because they're busy doing other things. They have no idea that you're dead. They just keep going. And we'll do that same thing. So don't be afraid of death or any of that kind of stuff. Live your life, and you'll continue to live your life. It will just go on and on and on and on. That world without end just goes and goes and goes. But we are taught that it doesn't do that. And we're taught, what else are we taught? We have to prove ourselves all the time to God that we're worthy of Him.
Purgatory.
Yes. And we're always worthy. Always know that you're worthy. And if you do something stupid, you're still worthy. God doesn't punish you in one way, shape, or form for making a mistake or even for sinning. You see? Because God is able to separate the sin from the sinner. You see? So God does not hold anything against you. So you can ask God anytime you want for anything you want. That's the next thing that goes on in our mind. Oh, that's too big of a deal. God can't do that. Even though we say all things are possible with God, we think that we've asked for too much. Well, I could maybe ask for $1,000, but I could never ask for $10,000. That's entirely too much money. You see, if God can give you $1,000, God can give you $10,000 or $100 million. Why is that? Because God does not know the difference between big and small. Only we know the difference between big and small. You see, an elephant has the life of God, right? So does an ant have the life of God. Now, which one is more important? The ant or the elephant? They're both exactly the same. Because it's the life of God. Doesn't matter. But an elephant is gigantic and an ant is just small. Doesn't matter. See? So that's a different way of looking at things, and that's the way we believe that this thing called God looks at things. Because God does not show favors of any type. And we were taught that as children. God likes that person more. God likes everyone exactly the same. Exactly the same. God likes everybody. God may not like what you're up to, but God loves you just the same. Many people years ago got so mad when they used to talk about Hitler, and people wanted me to tell them that Hitler was in hell. Well, I can't tell you that. God loved Hitler just the same as He loved everybody else. Now, all the stuff that He did was not very nice, was it? But still, 10 to 1, He's not in hell. He's not in hell. We like to punish people, don't we? We are the ones who come up and say, you did wrong, you did bad, now you have to give us 3 years of your life or whatever. God doesn't say that to you. God doesn't say you were bad, now for 3 years you're going to suffer. Then after the third year, we'll see if you're worthy to get what you want. You're always worthy to have what you want. Where do you think those desires and wants come from? They come from divine mind. They come from the mind of God. They come from the mind of God. We are each and every one of us using the mind of God. There is only one mind in the universe, and that's what we call God's mind, or a mind for good. And we are part of that. And that cannot be taken from us. It can never be taken from us. So that is a wonderful thing to remember. You see, that's why I tell you that God is for you. The universe is for you. It's shouting from every corner of the universe. It's shouting at you to become what you want to be. It's shouting. It wants you to be happy. It wants you to have what you want. And you have to remember that. It's our minds that tell us, oh, well, do you remember I did this, this, and this, therefore I can't be worthy to get what I want. You're always worthy, people. Get rid of that idea that you're not worthy. We're always worthy. This thing called God always holds us in the highest of esteem. In the highest of esteem. So think of those things. Think of the idea that you've never been thrown out of the Garden of Eden. That everything you need is here in this garden. Everything you need is here in this garden. To support you, to give you life. You say, I'm sure my thoughts, all the wonderful plants that are in the world, they have curative powers, and they're here to cure us. We can go and look for them. But we became lazy and started to do pharmaceuticals. But herbs and plants are there. All we have to do is ask. And if you want the plant and so forth, if you're walking out in the forest or something, you can ask plants, what do you want me? What do you do for me? And the plant will talk to you. Does anyone remember George Washington Carver? I think, wasn't it George Washington Carver who did the peanut industry, made peanuts? Yes, the peanuts. When they asked him, how did you discover all the stuff that peanuts can do? He said, I asked the peanut. And this is how you do it. You ask, what can you get me? What can you do for me? This lonely peanut, tell me all the things that you're good for. And it did. And it did. You can talk to these things, and this is not being idiotic or airy fairy or any of those things. Now, it takes time to learn how to listen to plants and how to do things. But I have tons of plants in my house, and I talk to them all the time. And I always tell them how much I love them. And they're flourishing because something. And I just imagine it, my thought waves going out to those plants. I just imagine that. And by the way, that's all life is imagining things. You see, your imagination is the greatest tool you have, and you must learn to use it. I'll tell you what I do with those plants and plus if I forget to say thank you and I'm in the bedroom. I send my thoughts to the plant room I figure my folks have to get that far. I don't have to go out there and be right with them. I can talk to them from here. And I do that. Now, does that make me crazy? Perhaps, but I don't care about being crazy. It doesn't bother me in the least. I want to use my imagination and see what I can draw into my life. And so far, I've drawn wonderful things into my life. I'm not one bit discouraged with my life. Not one bit discouraged with my life. Could have gone in different ways. I could have been a millionaire by now. But that doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me. Because I feel a connection to the universe. I feel a connection with this thing that we call God. And if I could talk to the plants, I ought to be able to talk to God, don't you think? And you can all talk to God by asking. By asking God, is this what I should do? I have a client call. I said, how are you doing? She said, oh, I have to have a skit for some comedy class she's taking. And she said, I don't have a thing. I said, you get plenty. I said, now sit down and ask the universe to help you with this. Say, universe, I'm not, clear me up on this. What can I tell these people? What can I do? And it'll drop into your head. God will drop that stuff into your head. The same. We forget that we have that thing called God to use. We think, oh, I have to do it all myself. You don't have to do anything yourself. In fact, you don't do anything yourself, but we think we're doing things, you see. God's doing everything. Everything. So, ask. Ask for what you want in every situation that you're in. In every situation that you're in. And God will come to your aid. I used to do a wonderful affirmation that was, be bold. And mighty forces will come to your aid. I love that one, don't you? Be bold, and mighty forces will come to your aid. So be bold about what you want when you ask. Be bold and see what comes into your life. Something wonderful is always out there. Always out there. And you come here. And I'm delighted that you come every week. But it's time for us at our age, or especially at my age, I'm going to start to see things not only with gratitude and thanksgiving, but with awe and wonder. What a beautiful world we live in. What a wonderful life I'm having. I never knocked that down. Some people, you know, think they're having a horrible experience and a horrible life. Well, they're doing that to themselves. And if they would ask, they could stop all of that. But it's in the asking, and it's in the idea that you are worthy and deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. When you get those down, and I have never had a client come to my house who wasn't suffering from one of those and didn't know it till you pointed it out. Because we go around in our lives. When I say worthy and deserving, most people think, oh, well, that person who has all the money must know that they're worthy. No. Money has nothing to do with it either. I know many people with tons of money and they're absolutely miserable. They have no peace of mind, no contentment, because they have no idea who they are. They can buy all the stuff they want with all that money, but they still have no idea what they're doing and who they are. So get an idea of what you are. Get an idea of what you want. The idea of what you are, you can get close to it. I don't know if you'll ever be able to figure it out. But you can get closer and closer and closer to it by asking, help me with this. Help me with this. If your mind is confused and all, sit down and say, God, my mind is confused. I don't know what to do, but I know you do. Clear this up for me. Clear this up for me. And God will clear it up. But what do most people do in those situations? They take a pill of some sort. They take a pill of some sort. Instead of saying, God, help me with this. They believe, most people's belief is stronger in doctors than in this thing we call God. That's why there are so many doctors out there that are here. I don't know. I told one once what MD stood for. Minor deity. He didn't like it. But they do. It goes to their head and all. And a good doctor will say, God is healing here. I'm only facilitating. Only facilitating. So, ask, ask, ask. And you know that. But we didn't do it as children. We saved ourselves. I remember my thinking as a child, well, I don't think my parents had the money. I'm not going to ask. You see? So I stopped myself from asking. And my brother, who would have cared less, I think, about anything, he just, I want it, and I want it now. And he would get it. My parents would buckle in or whatever. But I always thought, oh, can't afford it, and this, that, and the other thing. How did I knew that as a child? I don't know. Ridiculous. So, now we're grown-ups. And we had a lot of things happen to us as children. But we can think past all that now, can't we? Forgive all those people. I have nothing in my background now that upsets me, you know, my life, and even then, my childhood, there was nothing wrong with my childhood. I thought as a child, it could be better, but children do that, you know. But it, in the long run, it was a great childhood when I look back at it, you know. So I have to be thankful. And I've learned to ask for things. And I receive the things I ask for. So, ask believing, and it will be given unto you. You will receive it. That is the way this whole thing works. Why people think it works differently is beyond me. So, and we talk about in this teaching, we talk about the law of attraction, the law of repulsion. There are tons of laws. But what's the greatest law? It's the umbrella where all the other laws are in there. It's love. Love is the greatest thing. So learn to love yourself. Learn to know that you are worthy and deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. See? And instead of looking for love to fill in all those dark corners, become love itself. You must become love itself. Anything that you want in life, you must become that. You must become what you want. So ask, and it will be given unto you. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and therein's the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you.